to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15, you know where that is? Reading in 2 Samuel recently, and I was just struck by a phrase in verse 6. So let me just read up to that. 2 Samuel 15, verse 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom, you know who Absalom was? Remember who he was? One of David's sons. Absalom prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early. He stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man that had a controversy came to the king, that's King David, Absalom's father, when any man came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, "Of what city art thou?" And he said, "Thy servant is of one of the tribes of Israel." And Absalom said unto him, "See, thy matters are good and right, but there's no man deputed of the king to hear thee." Absalom said, moreover, "Oh, that I were made judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice." And it was so that when any man came nigh to him to do him obeisance, that is to bow before him, he put forth his hand, he took him and kissed him. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. And here's the phrase that struck me. Verse 6, 2 Samuel 15. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. He stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Now, what that means is that he won them over to himself and away from his father, King David, by deceiving them into thinking that he genuinely was interested in them and really cared about them. You know, there's always people that do these kinds of things in order to gain more power or prestige or to fill an important position they want badly. It happens in government. It happens in corporations. It happens in organizations. It even happens in churches. On a personal level, I want us to be cautioned and warned tonight that we always have to be aware of the Absaloms in our own heart. I want to speak to you for the few minutes that will be in God's Word tonight on the topic that I've titled Absaloms of the Heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you tonight for the truth that you give to us in Scripture. And I pray that you'll use the wily character and the shrewdness and all that went in to make Absalom a rebel and a conspirator. I pray that you'll use all of this to really bring caution and warning to our own hearts. And rather than us pointing the finger at others, let us see the Absaloms and admit and own up to the Absaloms in our own heart and our own life. Lord, we just thank you for how practical your word is and how helpful when we just submit to it. So I pray to that end this evening, and I do so that everything would be done here to your glory and not anyone else. We want Jesus to have the preeminence. We want to lift him up. And we pray for his sake. Amen. So as I said, I believe that we ought to consider the Absaloms in our own heart. Well, to do that, how do you detect them? Let's talk first of all about detecting the Absaloms in our heart. By first of all thinking about this man, Absalom's plan was to replace David, his father, the rightful king of Israel. The man that God said, David, was a man after God's own heart. He wanted to take him out. He wanted to replace him. You know, that's how you can detect the Absaloms in your own heart. Anything that wants to replace Jesus, who is king, in your life, watch out. That's one of the detections. And so let's think about this in defining so that we can detect these Absaloms. Anything that deceptively seeks to manipulate and displace Jesus as the king of your life is an Absalom in your heart. Anything that threatens to overthrow and occupy the one place that God alone should occupy, the throne of your heart, is an Absalom inside you. Anything that you allow to replace God in any area of your life is an Absalom in your heart. And you know, it's not always easy to detect those things because they're very subtle. And this often happens gradually over a period of time that God gets displaced and then replaced in our heart. Anything that brings you joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment, peace, security, apart from God, that's an idol. That's exactly what idols are. Idols are not necessarily things that are carved out of wood, stone, or made of metal. Idols are anything that we get what we should only be getting from God, or primarily and ultimately from Him. And so when we define the Absaloms of our heart, we are identifying really idolatry in our heart. And the different kinds of idols, there's people can become idols. Our family members can displace God on the throne of our heart. Romantic relationships can do that. Our employers can also displace God, or activities can do that, whether they be athletic activities or even serving can replace God in our hearts. Recreation and leisure activities or status can be idols, whether it be a vocation or an education or even a ministry or some social status that we seek. Obviously, money and material things can be Absaloms in our heart that displace the king from the throne. It could be a car. It could be food. It could be clothing. Anything. And so detecting the Absaloms of the heart. And the second thing I want us to think about is not only detecting the Absaloms, but also tracking them down. Think about the tactics that this man utilized. What did he do? How did he go about stealing the hearts of the men of Israel? Well, we didn't read the whole scripture about Absalom. But one of the things that the Bible tells us about him is that he was a very handsome man. He was a very handsome young man. And he was very persuasive, the little bit that we read here. But also in his persuasion, he was deceptively treacherous, wasn't he? He had treason in mind. He was trying to overthrow the rightful king of Israel. You know what the name Absalom means? Absalom, father of peace. He presents himself as a peaceful man, but he's not a peaceful man. That's all a facade. He's really a very angry, bitter, and hostile man that is just waiting for the right opportunity to pounce and to do whatever damage needs to be done to get what he wants. He's not a man of peace, as his name would suggest. He's a man that is arrogant, a man that is full of himself. Absalom is a master manipulator. That's what he's doing to the men of Israel. That's how he stole the hearts, literally stole deceived the hearts of the men of Israel. He was a master manipulator. He knew how to use all the gifts that he had that God gave him. He knew how to use those gifts to his own personal advantage to get what he wanted. I think that he, if you track Absalom and you track the Absaloms in your heart, first of all, you have to come to realize there is a feeling of superiority in him, and that is one of the ways in which you can track Absaloms of the heart, a feeling of superiority. Anything in your life that puffs you up, that makes you feel more important than you really are, or more spiritual than you really are. I think of the scripture in Galatians chapter 6, where we are told that if one falls into sin, that they that are spiritual should restore that person in a spirit of meekness, lest they themselves would be tempted and fall into the same sin. And then he says, bear one another's burdens, thus fulfill the law of Christ. And then he says, basically this in verse 3 of Galatians 6, that's that context. If you think that you're too important to help someone who's fallen into sin, you're only fooling yourself. You're really not that important. That's actually what he says. You're not that important at all. We think we are more important than we really are. I'm not important, and you aren't important. What's important is that we find the will of God and in dependence upon him, in personal depending upon him, we do the will of God. He's important. Superiority, that's an Absalom of the heart. Remember again what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. That's the passage where he, first of all, says, hey, surrender your body as a living sacrifice. And it's in the context of serving the Lord. Then he talks about the gifts that God gives to various people in the body of Christ to serve one another. To serve one another in love. And he says, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, because you deceive yourself when you do that. Your heart's stolen. Absalom stole the hearts. He deceived the hearts of the men of Israel. When we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, when we have that superiority complex, that's an Absalom of the heart. And then not only superiority, but if you track Absalom, you'll find out that he was a man that had a policy. He had a clever method that he used to give him an advantage over other people so he could manipulate them in order to use them. He knew how to use situations and people to advance his own agenda. Well, I don't tell you, anyone in ministry that uses people in order to advance an agenda that they have, has an Absalom in their heart they need to deal with. And so do we. If we think that through some clever psychological method or whatever, that we can manipulate people in order to get them to accomplish what we want to accomplish, that's an Absalom of the heart. And then one third and final area that I want to talk about tonight. You have an Absalom in your heart? How do you get rid of it? How do you escape it? How do you avoid it? So I want to close by talking about escaping the Absaloms in our heart. How to avoid them. How to guard against them. You know, when you read the whole story about this young man, David's son Absalom, you know what you realize? In a sense, David created a monster. In a sense, David is responsible for Absalom's rebellion. Now, I know Absalom has to answer for himself. He's a grown man, okay? He's not a little boy. He's going to have to answer for himself. But David messed up with this kid, with his son Absalom. He has to bear some responsibility, David does, in the way that Absalom turned out. which actually resulted in David's own exile. He was dethroned and exiled from the country as a result of a rebellion of Absalom. But you know what I mean by that? David did not deal with Absalom the way he should have. In fact, David didn't deal with the wrong that made Absalom so angry and bitter against him. David failed to deal with sin, with wrong, and he didn't, in some cases, deal with it at all. And then when he did deal with Absalom, he handled him improperly. He handled him wrongly. Perhaps if David would have questioned Amnon, the half-brother of Absalom, perhaps that tragedy in chapter 13 would have never taken place. If David would have punished his son Amnon, perhaps Absalom wouldn't have rebelled. If David had not ignored Absalom all those years, and even when he came back into the land, he gave him the silent treatment, did not allow him to come into his presence for about 4 years. You know, too often the Absaloms in our heart develop because we don't deal with things. We sweep things under the rug. We sidestep things because it's not fun. It's not pleasant to have to confront evil, especially in us, head on. And so these Absaloms develop in our own hearts, but they can be avoided and they can be rooted out three ways. Number one, by being agreeable. What do I mean by agreeable? I mean being agreeable with God. Did you know that the word confess in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, means to be in agreement with God? It means to be agreeable with God. And so when I say you can avoid and root out the Absaloms of the heart, what I mean is, if you will respond quickly and positively to the Holy Spirit's conviction in your heart and not ignore evil or sin in your heart, or refuse to deal with your wrong attitude and your wrong actions, you'll avoid the Absaloms of the heart. By first of all, being agreeable. Secondly, by being humble. Not thinking highly of yourselves. Again, Romans 12:3. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And remember Galatians 6:3. You're not as important as you think you are. If you think that you are more important than another brother or sister, you are deceived. You have an Absalom in your heart. You feel you're better than another believer or more spiritual than that person. Everything that you are that is commendable is by grace. It's by grace alone. Listen to this. This is Philippians 2. If there be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, pride, but in lowliness of mind, look at this, let each of us esteem or value the other better than ourselves. Value that other person more than you value yourself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Don't focus on yourself. You're not number one. Remember, you're not that important. Humble. And then the third thing to root out and avoid the Absaloms of the heart, agreeable, humble, and thirdly, charitable. What do I mean by charitable? The Bible says that believers ought always to be making progress spiritually, growing in grace, not just head knowledge, but in grace as well. If all we do is fill our head with facts, with truth from God's word, and it doesn't impact our lives, if it doesn't get applied, there's no grace that is being built up in us. So grow in grace, because if you grow in grace, it'll make you compassionate. It'll make you tender-hearted. And as a result, you'll be charitable. You won't display a self-righteous, harsh, judgmental attitude, demanding a letter of the law, critical spirit toward everyone. I think of how Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion upon one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. That means merciful. Be courteous, not rude, not rendering evil for evil, but contrary, blessing for evil, give blessing, knowing that thereunto you are called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips, that they speak no guile, that's deceit. Let him eschew or shun or avoid evil, do good, let him seek peace and ensue it or pursue it. Chase it, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And then in chapter 4 of this same book of 1 Peter and verse 8, he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Be charitable. Charity shall cover the multitude of sins. That's how you escape the Absaloms of your heart. We all have to deal with them. He's alive and well, Absalom, within each of us, if we're honest. Let's deal with them. Let's escape. Let's detect and track them down and then escape. Root it out.